We are now going to hear a talk from Ruthie. We're going to have a reading, but it's going to be a very different kind of reading. So you'll see that in just a moment. Let's pray for Ruthie as that starts. Father God, thank you for Ruthie. Thank you for the word that you've given her for today. Thank you for the way that you have moved her heart, stirred her heart, and given her your words. And pray for each of us as we listen to her word that you will move our hearts to and lift our eyes up to see Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Ruthie.
God's people had some scary enemies, but the Philistines were the scariest of them all. And now the Philistines had come to fight them. The Philistines had a secret weapon called Goliath. Goliath was a terrifying soldier, and worst of all, a giant. A giant so strong and so tall and so scary that no one had ever been able to fight him and live to tell the tale. So there they were, the Philistines standing on top of one hill and God's people standing on the other. Every day Goliath came out and shouted,
"Send your best soldier to fight me. If he wins, we will be your slaves, but if I win, you will be our slaves."
No one spoke. No one moved.
"Chickens, your god can't save you. I'll rip your heads off and have you on toast."
His beady, greedy eyes glowered at them hungrily from under his horrible helmet, as if any minute he really might just gobble them all up. And he laughed his terrible laugh. It boomed, echoing horribly around and around the dry, dry valley. Well, Goliath might just as well have been a green, slimy monster with three heads, because God's people froze with fear, their eyes glazed over, and they turned deathly pale. They knew if someone didn't do something quick, if someone didn't save them, but God would do something. He would send someone to save them. Now David was the youngest son of Jesse, and his brothers were soldiers in the army. One day, when David brought his brothers their lunches, he saw Goliath, and he saw how scared everyone was. "Don't be afraid," David said. "I'll fight him for you."
"You're only a little shepherd boy," the king said, "and Goliath is a great big soldier. How will you fight him?"
"God will help me," David said. So the king gave David his royal armour to wear, but it was too heavy and too big, and David couldn't even walk. "I won't need this," David said. Instead, David picked out five smooth stones from the stream. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He took his slingshot and walked towards Goliath. Step, step, step. Goliath walked towards David. Thud, thud, thud.
"You?"
Goliath peered down at the small boy.
"I'm little," said David, "but God is great." Goliath laughed.
With just one swing of his giant sword, Goliath could finish the boy off. But David kept going. "It isn't how strong you are or how many swords and spears you have that will save you. It is God who saves you. This is God's battle, and God always wins his battles." David put a stone in his sling, swung it around, and let it go. Smack between his eyes. Goliath stopped laughing. He stumbled, he staggered, and crash! He fell dead. When the Philistines saw Goliath was dead, they ran away. And when God's people saw them running away, they cheered. God had saved his people. David was a hero. Many years later, God would send his people another young hero to fight for them, and to save them, that this hero would fight the greatest battle the world had ever known.
Okay, thank you. Thanks to my boys, Nathaniel and Joseph, for taking part in that. They're good sports. Now, before we get going, does everybody have a piece of paper or the side of an old cardboard box from Amazon or something to draw on and some pens to draw with? Because in a few minutes, we're going to do something with that. Okay, now, children, we haven't seen you for a few months, and I'm just wondering how much you have grown in those few months since we saw you. I'm sure some of you have a height chart at home or tape measure. Children love to know how much they've grown. So who's grown, and are any of you now taller than your parents? I think when you get to the age of 11, 12, 13, you start to have a growth spurt, and then suddenly you start getting taller than the grown-ups in your house. Well, in my house, I get a bit of teasing because my boys are all taller than me now, and my daughter reckons she is too, but I'm not sure about that. I think we're actually the same height. And what about shoes? Who's going to have to go to the shoe shop and get a new pair of shoes before school? Because feet grow all the time, don't they, when you're a child? Now, my son, Joseph, who was in that little video just then, he's gone up about 4 or 5 shoe sizes in a year, and that's very expensive at the shops. So here's one of his latest. This is a size 12 shoe. Very expensive. Well, this wasn't. And compared with mine, quite big, isn't it? So parents, who's got to fork out for new shoes soon? Now, in our Bible story that we've just had, we've heard about a giant. Well, actually, he probably wasn't really a giant, not a real giant as such, but he was very, very, very tall, and he would have looked like a giant to all the people around him. The Bible says that Goliath was close to 10 feet tall. That's about 3 meters. That's probably taller than this room I'm in now. Very tall indeed. In the Guinness Book of Records, you can find out who is the tallest man in the world. And at the moment, we have a picture of him coming up, I think. His name is Sultan, and he lives in Turkey. And here is a picture of him at about 2.5 meters tall, standing next to an average height sort of a guy. So that's 8 feet and 2 and a bit inches. There he is. But that is still 0.5 meter shorter than Goliath. So Goliath was very big. This story from 1 Samuel 17 is very important in the life of David, and I'm sure you all know it very well. You've probably had it read to you as children lots of times. In last week's story and in the talk, we heard about and we thought about the heart of David, didn't we? What's on the inside about his love for God and God's love for him? Because God, we learned, is not impressed by our outside appearance, by what we look like, about how tall and strong we are, or how small and weak we might be, what size shoes we wear, what phone we use, what car we drive in, or the house we live in. But we humans do tend to look at those things a bit, don't we? And God's people were the same. They looked at Goliath and they saw a giant. They saw the impossible task, and the Bible says they were pale with fear. King Saul, the king of God's people, the Israelites, one of the words in the anagrams, they also saw the problem as a giant. But God saw Goliath's heart, and he would have seen the evil there. Well, then along comes David. I think we've got a picture here of David coming along with a donkey, and he's bringing packed lunch from his dad to his brothers, because all his brothers are in the army and he's bringing their lunch to them. The Bible doesn't tell us how old David was at the time, but to be in the army, you needed to be at least 20. Some people reckon he was maybe 15 or 16. We don't know for sure, but we do know that he was young and he didn't have any army training. He had no weapons. He had no armor, nothing like that. But what he did have was faith. and he had the experience of trusting in God. When he looked after his dad's sheep out on the hillside, if a bear came or a lion, he would fight it off. Well, you wouldn't dare do that these days, would you? God gave him what he needed, and he had faith and trust in God. So the difference was that to Saul and the Israelites, to everyone else, Goliath looked terrifying and an unsolvable challenge. But to David, defeating Goliath was an opportunity to serve God and to glorify God. Now, children, what toy weapons did you find lying around in your house today? I know some of you wrote up some on the chat earlier. I have here, well, who knows what this is? Can you hear the noise? Yeah, of course, it's a lightsaber that doesn't want to go off. There we go. And I wonder if you know what this is. Yeah, of course, it's a Nerf gun. And I think you can shoot 8 bullets out of this, so it's pretty terrifying. But, of course, we've lost the bullets all around the house, haven't we? But there we go. So what else did you find? Maybe a water pistol or a sword or a dagger or knitting needles, I heard someone say. Something else. Well done for finding those things. Now, who went out into the garden or somewhere else and found some sticks and stones? Because if you did, you've chosen the thing that's closest to the weapon that David used. So anyway, there we have David. He's brought lunch along to his brothers, probably dishing it up, and he hears the challenge from Goliath. I think we've got a picture of Goliath as well to show you. He was the Philistine champion, and the Philistines were the enemies of God's people, and here he is. Well, David was outraged. He was outraged at Goliath's defiance of the living God. David has no doubt at all that even though he is the smallest and youngest of everybody there, he could do the job. He could go out and defeat that Goliath. Well, to help set the scene a little bit for us, would you like to pick up your paper or your card or whatever you've got? I have a whiteboard, actually, because it's a little bit easier to hold. And then get your pens. Doesn't matter what colours you've got, or if it's just a pencil or anything at all, really. We're going to draw a very simple line drawing of the scene in front of us. So we have a valley, the Valley of Elah. So what we're going to do is we're going to draw one side of the valley. Maybe you can do this with me. And then the bottom of the valley, and then we're going to come up the other side like that. Okay, so you just need just a line like that, and then on the one side, we're going to do the baddies. So I'm going to use a black here. So just some matchstick. Oh, that's not working very well, is it? Just some matchstick men here. Let me find another colour that's working. I think they've dried up a bit. Okay, so just some matchstick men here. Doesn't have to be anything special. And there were lots and lots and lots of them. You can keep drawing them for as long as you like. Obviously, you can't fit too many on here. I'm going to give them some spears as well, so they look a little bit scary. Like that. And if I had a finer pen, I'd draw scary faces on them. So you've got the baddies here. Let's write baddies on that side. And then on this side, we have God's people. So you want to draw a few more matchstick people. Now they would have had weapons as well, but they were white with fear, so I'm going to try and do sad faces on them. So they probably had swords, some weapons as well, but what they didn't have was faith. Okay, so yeah, lots and lots and lots of them. Okay, in the bottom of the valley, let's see if this works. Oh, not very well. In the bottom of the valley, we want to draw a stream, because the Bible says it's from the stream that David picked his stones. Okay, so baddies, God's people over here. I probably should write God's people. Not writing this very neatly, am I? There we go. God's people there on one side, baddies on the other side, the valley with the stream. Now, we need to draw Goliath. I wonder if my black's going to work. No, it's not. I'll use red Philistine. So now Goliath is big. So you've got to draw Goliath a lot bigger than those Philistines. So he's come down into the bottom of the valley to issue his challenge. as the champion of the people. So Goliath is going to be big. So he needs to just give him a bit of a body here. Now, he had a horrible helmet, so we need to do a horrible helmet on him and probably a very grumpy sort of face and probably a bit of a, there we go. And probably has a big spear, it says, and a sword, and he has armor. So maybe you want to do a little bit of something like armor, something to protect his legs, boots. Oh, and he had a shield bearer. So we need to have a shield. Let's just do one over here. So big shield, probably protect his whole body. And then let's do a little guy behind there. I'm not sure I'd like that job as the shield bearer, who's holding his shield. So he's got his spear and his sword and a grumpy face. And he's come to issue a challenge. So here we go. So something like that is probably a little bit like the battle scene looked like. So let's just put that there for a minute. And you can add to that as you like during the next couple of minutes. We're going to do something else in a minute on there. Now, David got his brothers in the army. Eliab is one brother who's named in the Bible. And he's really mean to David and he mocks him. But David ignores that and he comes forward and he offers himself. He has huge confidence in God and he has faith and trust. And he says, I'll do it. I'll fight the Philistines. But King Saul shows lack of faith and trust in God. You're not able to fight the Philistines, he said. You're only a boy. King Saul sees the shepherd boy. He doesn't see the faith and the trust that David has or the calling that God has on David's life. What does Saul do? Well, you know, don't you, from the story, we have a picture here coming up. He tries to give his big armor to David to put on, and David tries, and it just doesn't work. He's not used to it. It's not a good fit. He's not trained. David is going to fight Goliath on his terms. So David begins to walk down to the valley floor. So let's get your piece of paper again, or whatever you're drawing on. And we're going to do David. Now, remember, David's quite small in comparison to Goliath. So maybe he's about the same height as the shield bearer. So David's come down to the bottom of the valley and he's OK. He's got confidence in God. So we should probably give him legs. He needs arms. And he's got his sling. And he chooses 5 stones out of the stream. Doesn't use them all, does he? He chooses 5 stones out of the stream. So we've got the big Goliath and all his armor and shield and spear and everything. And then David with just his sling. So hang on to that. It's going to be a reminder of our story. So Goliath sees David approaching. Can you laugh like Goliath laughed in the story? Ha, 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 ha. That's the best Israel can come up with to send us some random short kid, he mocks. It's going to be a piece of cake. They walk towards each other. Goliath has his spear and his sword and his shield. David has his sling and the stones he's picked up out of the stream. David takes his sling. He puts just 1 stone. That's all it takes, 1 stone. And he swings it and he hurls it towards Goliath. Strikes Goliath smack between the eyes. Goliath falls to the ground. David chops off his head with Goliath's own sword. Israelites cheer. Hooray! Job done. Now, we tend to think of David as using some sort of kid's toy, a bit like those weapons that we found around our home today. Slingshot doesn't sound that impressive, does it? But slingers, as they were called in ancient times, were actually very, very skilled. They were really good with that simple weapon. Most could hit a target 200 metres away. That's like 2 football fields in length. That is a long way. And they were deadly accurate. If there was a bird flying up ahead, they could just swing their sling and they can just shoot it because it's a very accurate weapon. And all that is super cool. But there's more. Now, I have here a regular stone out of my garden. It's not special. It's just one that was lying around. But the stones in the Valley of Elah were special. Apparently, they were made of barium sulfite, which is twice as dense and heavy as normal stones. So one rock from a slingshot could typically fly at 35 metres a second. That's longer than a swimming pool, I think. So it wasn't a kid's toy. It was a really serious, deadly weapon. You see, God wasn't just putting David in a fight against Goliath to win that particular battle and war. God was showing us something about David and something about Saul. You remember what Saul did when David said he would fight Goliath? He laughed. He tried to give David his armour. Let's see that picture again, if we can, please. Tried to get David to wear that armour so that he would look, his outward appearance would make him look stronger and braver than Saul thought he was. Saul wasn't trusting God, but David trusted God, that what he had in his hand was enough. Now, you remember last week's story. God had already said to Samuel, who went to anoint David, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. Human beings look at the outside appearance, the outward appearance, but God looks at what? The heart. God looks at the heart. That's why Israel needed a new king. And that's why God appointed David to be the next king. David trusted God no matter what was happening in the world all around him. And that was something that God wanted as a leader. We can all trust God because God knows what we don't know. And God always has our best interests in his heart. And he has our future in his care. We don't have to be something that we aren't for God to use us. We can be a little shepherd with just a slingshot and a rock. A young child at school. A teenager who's had exam results, whatever they were like. We might be waiting to go to college or university. And God can use us to defeat the biggest giants in our world. So don't allow people to put you down because you are young or inexperienced or think you don't have the right gifts or ability. Actually, God is not looking so much for ability. He is looking for availability. When Samuel anointed David, we read that the Spirit rushed upon David, literally like a powerful wind. I wonder if that's a bit like what it was like for those disciples in the upper room at the first Pentecost. When you become a friend of Jesus, he lives in you by his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is the one who will help you tackle the giants in your life. Remember that Jesus has already won the greatest battle that there is. When he died on the cross over sin and death, he was victorious. Because on the third day, he came alive again. He rose from the dead, and death no longer has any hold over him, and it has no sting for us because Jesus won the greatest battle. So if you are a small child or a tall child or a teenager or a grown-up, are you an older person or someone with health challenges or anything else that feels a bit like a worrying challenge at this time? I wonder how overwhelming is your particular giant right now? What is it that you're thinking about? What is it that makes you have a bit of a knot of worry inside, that anxiety that you can't quite shift? Because God can and will help you face and defeat that giant. Nothing is impossible with God, the Bible tells us. We know that the world is facing a number of giants right now, including the virus. It's always faced giants of various sorts. So as God's people, as Christians, as believers in Jesus, let us walk in faith. Like David, saying, it isn't how strong I am or what I look like or even the gifts I think I have that will save me. It is God who saves me through Jesus. The battle is the Lord's and he will win. So each day this week, let's put our hand into Jesus' hand. And let's say to him, you lead me through this day, Lord. You take me through this challenge and give to him your giant, whatever that is, leave it with him, and he will help you through. He will defeat that giant by the power of his spirit in your life. We're going to be quiet for a minute or two now, and we're going to pray, and after that I'm going to hand over to Katie for a response time. So let's just, where we are right now, let's close our eyes, let's just sit comfortably. If you're on the floor, just get nice and comfortable, just wiggle a bit if you need to. And let's just breathe deeply. And remember that God is with us by his Spirit. Father God, thank you that we can come to you because of Jesus. And thank you for David. Thank you for his faith and trust in you. Thank you that his heart was to love you as you loved him, to serve you and to give you glory. Help us remember that whatever we're facing, however we feel inside, nothing stops you loving us. And nothing is too big for you. And you care about every giant that we face, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you are always with us by your Holy Spirit, who lives in us and is the power to help us live for you every single day. Amen.